This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With John, he's another person who's been a great commander, a great person for this franchise, and he's going in the last year of his deal, and he's talked about it and said wanted to be able to explore opportunities, and so we let them do that, and we're staying in contact with them, you know, like every day. Just texted with them this morning, and you know, really everything's still on the table in terms of whether it's a trade or staying here, or we're still going through that. It's kind of early in the stages. We haven't done a lot of exploring yet, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
That is Adam Peters on Jonathan Allen, defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman, who could be available via trade or also could just be cut loose. We are getting to players asking for trades season rather than be cut, and Jonathan Allen is on the list.
And we'll talk more about him now with Craig Hoffman, 4-7 weekdays on the Team 980 covering the Commanders. Craig, Joe, and Jeremy, thanks for coming out again.
You got it. How are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. How good an idea is Allen at this stage in his career, 1 year left on his deal for a team that would be acquiring him?
John's an interesting guy in that he is definitely a good player, but he's fairly unique in terms of like the fits that I would like if I was searching for him, right? So if you want him to be a big block-eating defensive tackle who allows your linebackers to flow freely, he's not your guy. And that's why I think he is no longer – the main reason he is no longer desired here is he's a guy that is a penetrator, is a little undersized. He has some pretty good pass rush shoes, not as good as he did when he was younger, but still has some of that. And, like, that's a useful player. Like, interior defensive line disruption is something that a lot of teams are obviously looking for. But you have to be able to do it within a scheme. I think at times he plays out of scheme. He's not – like, for as disciplined as he is on his – nutrition and all the like professional stuff, I don't know how disciplined he always is on the field. He'll go try to make the play himself, and that just didn't really fit with, hey man, just like do what you're supposed to do and Bobby Wagner will make the tackle. He's really good at it. And so that I think on the football end of it is kind of why they're divorcing here. But if you are looking for a playmaking defensive tackle with a little bit of gas left in the tank and you can get him at a cheaper rate than obviously Washington wants to pay him, and for a team acquiring him via trade, like you don't have to worry about the signing bonus proration. So that number's like $15 million where Washington would be paying him, you know, his cap number is $22 in D.C. this year. He's worth poking around at.
How much was the scheme change a thing that changed it? Because, you know, going back a couple of years, I feel like I can remember him being not quite a household name, but among defensive tackles thought of as one of the premier guys in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how their defensive line has evolved, and not to get too Washington-centric for your Bills audience, who's just like, hey, should we sign him or not? I think that like the way they had built it initially when he was here, like he was a featured guy, and they then drafted Daron Payne next to him, and those two guys were kind of the guys, and they drafted Montez Sweat outside, and Montez was a good complimentary piece. And then they draft Chase Young, and they go four straight years on the defensive line in the first round, and now you have all these guys that all want to make the plays, and it's just too many, I don't want to say stars, because I don't know that any of them like actually rise to star player, but like too many stars and not enough role players, not enough guys that were willing to just say, like, hey, I'll eat this block. I'll play off of you. They didn't communicate well up front. So there was some of that that had already started to happen previously. And then it was more accentuated, I think, this year when, you know, John and Duran are the last two guys left. And then he gets hurt early in the year. And that was a pec injury that we thought was going to be the end of him in D.C. And he actually came back and played decently well in the final couple of games. But you saw when he went out, the defense got better. And some, who knows, like, could they have made some adjustments with him in? So it's not saying like it got better because he went out, but some of the issues they were having where he would try to backdoor a play or whatever, and all of a sudden you have this huge gap on the front side and everyone's yelling at the safety, like, why didn't you make the tackle? And it's like, well, Jeremy Chinn is a very good tackling safety, but he's not going to make a play in an 8-yard wide gap because he's not a superhuman. And like, if John Allen had just done his job, that gap is what it's supposed to be, and Chinn will make that play every time. And so I think some of it was schematic and what they were asking him to do. I think some of it is he has distinct ideas, and this gets into another, I think, important part, and why plays like Buffalo's intriguing, right? Buffalo's got a strong locker room, the way they do things, whatever, that's already established. Here, he has been a captain and a leader and all that stuff for a long time. And when things change around you and you still kind of think that you should be in charge, like, there can be friction there. And I think there was some of that this year in D.C. So I think that that was part of it, too, is like he has distinct ideas of how he wants to play and felt like he had enough leverage to try to implement those. And I don't know that the coaching staff always agreed with that assessment.
Craig Hoffman with us on the Wester Hotline. I don't know that he was ever like the biggest, maybe not as big a name as he deserved to be. When he was at his best, like how good was he? Like, and that's probably what, 3 years ago-ish that he was really playing at his peak?
Yeah. Somewhere between 2 and 4 years ago, there's multiple peaks in there, multiple game stretches where he was really good. I mean, he was a Pro Bowl player, like, no doubt about it. Not an All-Pro. So that line, obviously, is distinctive, where it's like he's not one of the best three guys at the position, but is he one of the best eight? Yeah, at his best, he was, and that's obviously a really good player. In terms of now, like, I'd be stunned if he made a Pro Bowl. I guess if he's on the team like the Bills, who's, you know, one of the best teams in the league, and he goes out and has a good sack season. And that's the other thing, too, right, is, like, there's underlying data, and this is actually a more interesting conversation on Daron Payne, but I'll use Payne real quick as an illustrator. Like, Daron Payne has basically been a very consistent player throughout his entire career. His pressure rate is the exact same for basically every year within, like, 0.5%. The 1 year he was in a contract year, for whatever reason, that pressure rate paid off in 11 sacks. He got paid. And, like, Allen, I think, has been one of those guys, too, where, like, he's pretty consistent. The production can go up and down based off other circumstances, but he's not one of these guys that just figures out how to produce it, you know, the way that, you know, obviously everyone's talking about Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, his pressure rate's consistent, so is the sack rate. Allen's one of these guys that's a tier down at his peak and probably two tiers down now, where circumstance is going to affect production in a much larger way.
Craig Hoffman joining us in the Wester Hotline on the Commanders. On Myles Garrett, you know, these two teams, Bills and Commanders, not linked by much, but, you know, championship game losses and also potential Garrett pursuit. Do you think Washington would seriously go in on this? Would you view it as hitting fast forward a bit? I mean, you're entering Jaden Daniels, the year he just had, and the expectations in Washington, I'd imagine, have shifted greatly. So is it a very quick, yes, let's go get it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it is. And I laugh at some of our fan base who is like, oh, you have to take it slow. I'm like, you were in the NFC Championship game. The only team to beat the Eagles after week 5 was you. What are you waiting for? And not to say that this team is, like, perfectly built. I mean, the Bills have, for instance, a much better roster top to bottom than Washington does. And right now, Washington barely has a roster because they have 28 free agents, which I believe is second most behind Kansas City in the entire league. So they have a ton of guys they have to re-sign to even get back to the baseline of what last year was. But I think, unlike a team like the Texans, one, the Texans' offensive structure, which ultimately ended with Bobby Slowick getting fired and their O-line coach getting fired, like, I'm not worried about that stuff with Washington in terms of a year two regression for Jaden Daniels in the way that C.J. Stroud, quote-unquote, had one. And C.J. definitely wasn't as good in year two as he was in year one, but his circumstances were god-awful. And two, I think that the way that this front office works, like, they're very, very in line with their coaching staff. They know exactly what they want. And I think that they played better football. And I think that's the last part with the Texans comparisons. Like, the Texans won a crap division and then, you know, won one playoff game. The Commanders were undefeated through the final, I think it was 7-game win streak at the end of the year. And then from like mid-November on. And then the only team that beat them was the eventual Super Bowl champions. And Washington, you know, the final score was pretty lopsided. But I think Washington actually played Philly closer in the playoffs than Kansas City, for instance, did in the Super Bowl. And so at that point, you have to look at yourselves and be like, okay, well, we know where we thought we might be, but like, what truly are we? And I think the answer is pretty good. But what's the difference between us and a great team? What's the difference between us and Philadelphia, us and Buffalo, us and Baltimore? And I think it's great players. And so if you feel confident that you can go find a bunch of more 7 out of 10 type of guys in free agency, and you can find those guys in the draft in the way that you did last year, what are you missing? The great ones. Go get Myles Garrett. Go get a great one. To me, it's so, so plainly obvious. Not that I'd, you know, do 3 first round picks for it, but if you're telling me you're picking 29 this year and 30 next year, fine. Right. Give up what's essentially 2 second round picks for Myles Garrett. You can make that up in other places in the draft. You can trade down and accumulate more picks. Like, there's other things that you can do to make that worthwhile.
Are you applying that same logic to a receiver potentially for Washington? Although, like, because I went into the offseason thinking about them for like T. Higgins, or if, you know, Metcalf would have shook loose. But I just maybe wonder if there's going to be a name that's worth, you know, all of that.
Yeah, I don't know at receiver, in part because they already have Terry, right? So they already have someone who is A-plus in the room in terms of his talent. And, I mean, at Terry, you know, we've always kind of been like, hey, we're pretty sure he's really good, but, man, his quarterbacks stink. And he has 1,000 yards every year anyway. And then this year he's with Jaden. He sets the franchise touchdown record in the first year together. So they've got Terry. They need to actually extend him. So there'll be a little bit of money going in that receiver room anyway. Now, because Jaden's on his rookie deal, like, they've got money to play with. You know, they've got a top 5 probably quarterback, top 8 quarterback on what, the 30th best deal in the league, or the 30th most expensive deal in the league, or whatever it is. So that's nice. But at the same time, like, getting more help, I think, is there. But I think for the receiver room, it's more of like, can you get the right guys to complement and fill in the offense? Now, I think the other one to watch in terms of receiver slash weapon is like, what happens in the tight end market? One, what happens with Zach Ertz for them here? He was great. He wants to be here, but he's going to cost more than he did last offseason because he's not coming off of Detroit's practice squad in the playoffs and being cut by Arizona or asking for his release in Arizona. He's coming off a Pro Bowl level season. But then, like, in the draft, I mean, they used a second rounder on a kid named Ben Sinnott last year out of K-State, and he didn't really play that well. So, and the type of receiver and type of tight end that he is, like, it's not the same as Ertz. And the Ertz piece proved really important. So whether it's Ertz himself or do they go, another, if like Loveland falls in the draft, a kid out of Michigan somehow to 29, like, that's one where I don't know if you run the card up depending on what else is going on your board, but like he'd be one of the guys you're considering, I would think. So another long story short, like, I do think the Commanders will be in the mix for some of these receivers. I look at a guy like Darius Slayton down the free agent list. Like, he seems like a very logical fit here to add some vertical speed. But there's other ways that I think they're going to add pop to this offense, and tight end and running back in the draft, I think, is another one that's fairly obvious. And that should be obvious for everyone this year, considering how many running backs are in this class.
We're always talking Bills and always talking receiver and often talking ideas and maybe bargain basement ideas. Is Diami Brown worth considering?
He is definitely worth considering. I don't know that he's going to be a bargain basement. Okay. That's kind of the issue here in Washington, is like, with the playoffs that he had, he was a 4-4-5 guy. He showed he could like catch screens and do real damage with them. Like, he showed a level of explosiveness. And especially like once he got into the wide receiver 2 role this year, which was, I want to say, like week 9, week 10, maybe a little bit later, Noah Brown, who they had brought in from Houston after he got cut in the preseason, which is hilarious in hindsight. Not hilarious, but it's funny in hindsight, certainly, with how many receiver issues Houston had this year that Noah Brown, they cut. And he wound up being wide receiver 2 in Washington for much of the year until he got hurt. Once Diami took that role over, he continually got better and better in it. He just continued to grow, get better, refine his professionalism. I think he'd always been a guy that worked hard, but like, now he had good guidance from the coaching staff and guys like Ertz, who were an example of like what to actually apply that work ethic towards. and he just blossomed. And obviously in the playoffs, he was incredible. So I'm like terrified that, you know, I heard in the sports update you guys just had, like, Shakir gets 15 a year. De'Ami Brown shouldn't get as much as Khalil Shakir, but I think that's a hell of an extension that the Bills signed Shakir to. And like, I'm nervous that he's going to be in that. You know, Darnell Mooney got $13 million last year.
Does, like,
would you pay De'Ami Brown what you got, what Darnell Mooney got? And I think someone will.
Craig, does he play all over the place on the outside? Does he run down the field? You mentioned good speed. I mean, the Bills, Shakir is almost primarily slot, and this Bills team has been seeking more help on the outside. Is Brown a guy that plays on the boundary?
Yeah, he is. He's an outside guy. He can play inside some, but he's more of a vertical route runner. But he's really good at, you know, those like comebacks. He plays bigger than his size, so he's not huge. He's probably about 6 foot, but he plays like he's 6'2", 6'3" in terms of being able to be a reliable target on comebacks, hitches. Obviously, the goes down the field. His ball tracking is pretty good. As I said, he's a really good screen runner. That was something that Washington kind of figured out with him this year. This administration was like, oh, you seem to, when you have the ball in your hands, run really physically. We should just put the ball in your hands. And he was great for them and what was a big part of their offense. And I'd say the other thing that is a great fit for Buffalo and is also a big deal for him here is he's a tremendous blocker. He was known as like the speedster go route guy coming out. And his first 3 years in Washington, the best thing he did by far was block. And so for the Bills who want to be a run-first football team and have that physical identity, like, I do think he's a really, really good fit.